This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The Pentagon recently disclosed that the actual number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan was 11,000, significantly higher than was previously acknowledged. The announcement came just days after President Donald Trump announced an open-ended escalation of the nearly 16-year-old war, a war that he had previously criticized quite vocally. But even before his announcement, U.S. airstrikes had escalated this year, putting 2017 on par to becoming one of the bloodiest years since the war began in October 2001. Afghan civilians are caught between the U.S.-backed corrupt warlords and the government, U.S. troops on the ground and airstrikes from above, Taliban forces on the ground, and now an emerging Islamic State presence. How are ordinary people coping? Joining me to help answer that question is Hila. She is a member of the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, or RAWA. RAWA is an underground organization, and it is the oldest women's political group in Afghanistan. To protect her identity, Hila is using a pseudonym, and we have obscured her face. Also, in the interest of full disclosure, I work closely with RAWA through a U.S.-based nonprofit group. So I want to welcome now to the program, Hila. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
What did you make of Donald Trump's announcement that he would be increasing troops, that he was going to try to win this war? How much difference has it actually made in Afghanistan for Trump to come in and say he's expanding the war?
Well, Donald Trump's strategy was not really a new strategy for Afghanistan or for the Afghan people. Nor was it a surprise or something which was unpredictable. Because what he may call a strategy is actually a very small change, a very small tactical change in the wider strategy that the U.S. has in the entire region, and especially in Afghanistan. The U.S. has its military bases in Afghanistan. The U.S. has troops in Afghanistan. The addition or withdrawal of a few thousand troops is not really going to change the strategy of the U.S. in Afghanistan, which is to use Afghanistan, to use its geographical location to keep its rivals like Russia, India, China, Iran under its thumb. That strategy is not going to change. That strategy is unchanged, and it's not going to change under Trump, and it's not going to change under any other president that comes for many years to come. And then, like most importantly, what is not different under Donald Trump and what is of the utmost importance to the people of Afghanistan is that the U.S. is always going to use the fundamentalist mercenaries for its purposes in Afghanistan. That is a policy that Donald Trump is not going to change. The jihadist government of Afghanistan is still in power, is enjoying the full support of the U.S. Peace talks with the Taliban is still on the table. And Gulbuddin Hikmatyar, one of the most infamous, bloodthirsty, criminal warlord of the past three decades of Afghanistan, was welcomed back to the government by the U.S., which is trying to wipe off the blood of tens of revolutionaries and intellectuals that he killed and hundreds of civilians that he killed during the war by welcoming him under the false pretext of peace. So there is nothing that has changed in the strategy that the U.S. has had, not just in the past 16 years, not just under Donald Trump, but for the past three decades in Afghanistan as part of its much bigger plans, not just for Afghanistan, not just for its neighboring countries, but for the entire region stretching to the Middle East and further from the Middle East.
Who is killing more civilians? I mean, we've just heard reports of the Afghan government dropping bombs and killing civilians, the U.S. government having killed civilians in a province in Afghanistan. And of course, the Taliban are engaged in suicide attacks constantly. Would you hold all three forces responsible for civilian deaths, or does one stand out to you more than the others?
The airstrikes of the US have never ever been, the US military has never been transparent in its investigations regarding the airstrikes that it has conducted. In many cases, the initial reports were that the airstrike was carried out by the Afghan forces in a certain case, but then it was revealed that it was actually done by the US forces.
I see.
And the changing story and the fact that there is no clear, transparent investigation does not really make it clear, make the situation clear for us to know which side exactly targeted a certain area. But it's very clear that this year it was reported that the airstrikes of the US has increased by 40%. Now it's impossible that with such an increase, you don't have 40% higher risk or death of civilians. Similarly, let us not forget the nitrates, which are still occurring in all parts of Afghanistan. And there are reports of the killing of innocent civilians, the arrest and torture of innocent civilians who, upon further investigation, they were accused of being Taliban, but they have actually turned out to be innocent civilians.
You said the night raids, so the U.S. troops are still conducting raids of Afghan villages at nighttime?
Yes, the night raids are continuing. Actually, it was a little point when the bilateral security agreement was being signed in 2014 that it was a so-called, apparently, a point of conflict between Karzai's government and the Obama government at the time. But then the bilateral security agreement was signed and the night raids were allowed just like before. And really, it didn't really, when I pointed out the security agreement, I don't mean that the night raids are continuing because it was allowed under the agreement. It would have continued in any case if the U.S. Felt like it would serve some purpose of it. But the Taliban and ISIS do cause the bulk of the civilian casualties and deaths in Afghanistan. And especially in the past few years, there have been many deadly suicide attacks, many deadly roadside bombings, and individual attacks on police forces, on security forces, that have left thousands of people injured and killed.
So the Taliban's attacks are causing the bulk of civilian casualties, but the U.S. actions aren't actually addressing that, right? Don't the U.S. forces actually make things worse rather than try to stop the Taliban from attacking civilians?
Well, actually, I was pointing out that this is where we get to the political part of Afghanistan, the political issue in Afghanistan, which is that the U.S. presence in our country has not, like the U.S. promised 13 years ago, has not been able to eliminate terrorism, has not even been able to weaken terrorism, because the Taliban are gaining more ground every day. ISIS, which was supposed to be uprooted in Syria and Iraq, is getting stronger in Afghanistan day by day, is gaining more ground in Afghanistan day by day. And it only, it's not something that we can logically accept that a superpower like America, which is going head to head with Russia, with North Korea, which boasts of, you know, its military might and of its nuclear might, etc., is not able to defeat a small group like the Taliban. Obviously, this is the political tool that the Taliban terrorists, ISIS terrorists serve the U.S., and this is why they're not being eliminated, and they're continuing to kill our civilians. The only price, the only people who are paying the price for this policy of the U.S., of supporting jihadists, or simply turning a blind eye to them, because they serve a certain purpose of the U.S., like, you know, threatening Russia or threatening China or even Iran and India and Pakistan, it comes at a heavy price for the people of Afghanistan.
What do ordinary Afghans want? I mean, I'm sure there hasn't been probably a poll done among Afghans for a long time, but from what you can see from the conversations you have with ordinary Afghans, What do they want to happen? Because once upon a time, a long time ago, there was some support for the U.S. coming into Afghanistan because people were so sick of the Taliban. Do they want everyone to just leave Afghanistan now?
It's absolutely true that when the Taliban regime was overthrown, the people of Afghanistan were very hopeful because the U.S. announced that it would not support fundamentalism anymore, that it was a mistake to invest in fundamentalism. But after 16 years, our people have seen that the brothers of the Taliban, the jihadists who are in the government, the criminals of Northern Alliance, the criminals of fundamentalist parties like Jamiat Islami, like Hizb Islami, Wahdat Islami, the most prominent of the Northern Alliance, Abdullah, a very famous commander and warlord of the Northern Alliance, is currently the CEO of the Afghan government. And the other prominent like Atta Mohammed Nur, Zia Masood, are all holding key positions or are enjoying a lot of power and influence in the government. So this was the point where people realized that nothing has changed. No policy of the U.S. has changed because it replaced one group of Taliban with another group of Taliban who are only going to increase their mafia activities, going to become drug kingpins, who are going to drive the country into more destruction and insecurity, poverty, and unemployment. Just like we have seen actually in the past 15 years, that not only has Afghanistan changed, but its situation has only deteriorated day by day. So this was a lesson for the people of Afghanistan when they realized that the U.S. is not here to actually help them. And today, the people more than ever, especially the people in isolated parts of Afghanistan, in provinces where they experience drone strikes, where they experience air strikes, where they experience the night raids or the patrols where they just randomly kill a civilian if they feel they're being threatened by them, or they carry out massacres like the regime of the U.S., which was revealed a few years ago, or the torture sites that the U.S. has in its military bases. People who have experienced those, especially there, especially in the villages outside of the cities, they definitely, more than the Taliban, hate the U.S. forces and want them to leave. Hmm. And then comes the government, because they see the government as the lackeys of these of the occupiers. And then, of course, the Taliban and ISIS and all these groups, because they have all been doing the exact same thing, which is the destruction of Afghanistan.
I'm speaking with Hila, a member of RAWA, the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan. It's an underground organization, and to protect her identity, she's using a pseudonym. We've also obscured her face for our TV audience. How are political organizations like RAWA responding to what's happening in Afghanistan? Any kind of opening for political activists to work within Afghanistan to try to address this very, very long war?
RAWA's activities have actually been quite limited by this current situation, by the current government of jihadi warlords, the presence of the Taliban and ISIS, which has made the country more insecure than ever before. But what has always been the prime aim of RAWA, and what we have always very strongly believed in, is in the awakening of the people and of the organization to fight for their own rights, especially for the women of Afghanistan. We believe that this current situation, when we have the occupiers, when we have the jihadi government, when we have the Taliban and ISIS, that there is no solution to this situation except that the people take the fate of this country into their own hands, that they struggle and get their finances back in with their own strength. And especially in our struggle as a feminist organization, the participation of women is key. And the participation of women can only occur if they are conscious enough, if they're politically conscious and they recognize their enemies and they can understand their own strengths to organize and fight these enemies with their own hands and get rid of them. This is the prime aim of Arbrawa. And as far-fetched as it may seem, it is actually, we see this as the most realistic and the most the only solution to the current situation, considering the entire history of the world, where no change has ever come without the true participation of the people and especially the women.
Hila, do you feel the world has forgotten Afghanistan? Especially here in the U.S., the war barely makes it in our news. Most ordinary Americans don't even think about how our troops have been fighting this war, the airstrikes, even though it's our tax dollars that are going towards killing Afghan people. It's just something that doesn't get covered enough in the media.
The people of the U.S. not knowing about the war in Afghanistan is actually, I think, part of the U.S. establishment's efforts to hide this war or give a very good picture of this war to deceive the people of America and tend in Afghanistan, whereas the only thing they have caused in Afghanistan is more and more destruction. But if we speak about the establishment, the U.S. government and the U.S. Military and the intelligence, they have not forgotten Afghanistan. Now they have not forgotten Afghanistan. They have not. They have been keeping Afghanistan in their plans for the past 30, 40 years, and that is something that is not going to change. So Afghanistan is not forgotten by the U.S. military and by the U.S. government, who are going to continue to use this as the main point where they can strike out at their rivals and have access to the countries that are most going to serve their purpose in the people. I think they have to really see through the massive, massive propaganda of the U.S. media and the big lies that are being told to them, or the way the media is obscuring the real picture of the war in Afghanistan, to realize that the reality is different from what they're seeing in the media, that the U.S. has only caused more destruction, that has only strengthened terrorist presence in Afghanistan instead of weakening it, that the situation of women is worse than before, that there is utmost poverty, unemployment, that we are the top producer of drugs, that we are the most corrupt country in the world, that we have people like the Taliban themselves in the government. So we basically have a Taliban government with only a difference of name and face. This is something that the people have to know, and this is something that the main media is never, ever going to tell the people of the U.S. This is the fact that the people don't know that they detect their attacks going into being not only terrorism is something that people have to learn now.
Give out a website, Hila, where people can find out more about Rawa's work.
Yes, they can come to Rawa's website itself, which is rawa.org, and they can also check out Rawa's Facebook page, which is rawa.afghanistan.
We'll post a link to those from our site later today. Hila, thank you so much for joining us. Hila is a member of the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, the oldest women's political organization there, and it's an underground organization. She joins us from an undisclosed location in the Central South Asia region, and to protect her identity, we've obscured her face. We've been discussing the escalation of the Afghanistan war as seen by Afghans themselves. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.